So we have a new series this morning, and we're going to be writing this whole month of August. The series is entitled The Great Invitation. Hallelujah. The Great Invitation. Now, there are people that get invitation to go to parties, to go to, you know, birthdays, you know, what else? You know those things. I mean, sorry? Weddings. Yes, you know, I don't know when last, you know, ever since Corona arrived, all the wedding invitations have disappeared. I don't know whether you've noticed. It's gone. Now it's Zoom, we Zoom weddings. Hey, Corona has changed our lives, my friend. I mean, it's happening. It's happening. All the baby showers have turned into baby deserts. mercy, mercy, mercy. They shall come back. They shall come back. You know? All those showers, baby showers, bride showers, all the showers, you shall receive them back. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, you can get an invitation from a great man and an invitation from a friend, but how do you respond to an invitation from God? We call it the great invitation. So you are invited this whole month. Actually, you are invited every Sunday and every day. God is inviting us. And I want you to really position yourself well this month to respond to the invitation. Hallelujah. So like you know, the first week, the first Sunday, I usually introduce you to the subject and I give you a title. And then from there, the rest of the Sundays will be dealing with different aspects of the great invitation. Amen. This morning, I'm talking about a little subject from the great invitation entitled, There Is a Room for You. Tell the person next to you, there is a room for you. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, there are certain parties, after a certain number, they cannot allow you in anymore. Do you understand? They have to return you. They have to send you back because the number has been reached. And they usually say sold out. I came to tell you this morning that there is a specific party that can never be sold out until you enter that party. Hallelujah. The heaven party is not sold out. There is still a room for you. And I want you to listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. Amen. I want us to go to the Bible in the book of Luke 14, verse 17 down to 24. The Bible says, then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many. The great invitation. He gave a great supper and he invited many people. There's no way you are not in that number. And sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. Can you believe this? So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, master, it is done as you have commanded, and still there is room. And still there is, tell the person, there is still room for you. There is room. There is room. Many have come, but there is still room. Hallelujah. We have done what you have commanded, but still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for all these people that are in these stream sites, in the many places where I'm being watched this morning. Many of them have been invited and they have responded to the invitation into a house or into a building. Father, there are people that will be watching this message years after maybe I'm gone. Father, I'm praying for those people right now. May you touch them this morning. May your word come true for somebody that is listening this morning. Holy Spirit, mighty Holy Spirit, minister to somebody right now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, I came this morning to tell you that there is room for you in heaven. I cannot guarantee that there is room for you in the union building. I cannot guarantee that there is room for you in a party of a great man, even in your area. I cannot guarantee that there is room for you even in certain meetings that are taking place in your family. I cannot guarantee that there is room for you in certain meetings that are taking place in your school, in your workplace. I cannot guarantee that there is room for you in those places. But there is a place I know this morning that there is still a room for you. And that is the place that matters more than any other place. I'm talking about heaven. And I want to ask you this morning, do you know that you are invited to join Jesus Christ? I know that you are aware that Jesus came to this world. And I know that you also know that he died and on the third day he rose and he went to heaven. But before he went to heaven, he told the disciples, I'm going to prepare a place for you. So that where I am, you might also be there. Hallelujah. I came to tell somebody this morning, it is good for you to know that Jesus is in heaven. But it's better for you to also know that Jesus has gone to heaven to prepare a place for you there. There is room for you. There is room for you. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. There is room for you in the presence of God. And God, just like this man, this was Jesus speaking to his disciples. And he was telling them something that was about to happen. Or he was telling them something that had happened. Because Jesus was explaining to them what was going to happen for people to go to heaven. A master prepared a great supper. And he sent his servants to go and invite people and tell the people he had prepared a place for to know that the place is ready, they can come. Can I tell you something? I am standing here this morning as one of the servants that have been sent. I have been sent to you this morning to tell you there is a place that has been prepared for you. There is a place that God has prepared for you. I have been sent by God to make you aware of that this morning. But you know, what happened that day when the servant went and invited the people and told them that the party is ready? You can come. Come and enjoy yourself. You know what happened to those people? I don't think these people were South Africans. And I don't, these people that were invited to this party, I don't think any of them was a South African. I can confirm it. Because as far as I know, South Africans, they invite themselves. You don't need to invite a South African to any party. They invite themselves. So I know for sure none of these three guys was a South African. Now I'm telling you the truth. Maybe there's some Somalia, other part of the world, but not South Africa at all. Because South Africans, no. In fact, they are already there. They are inside. They are within. They are within. Hallelujah. So I know we like parties. We like jiving. We like, especially Friday nights. Hey. Weekend special. I'm on weekend. Weekend special. I'm on. We don't play with weekend special. No, we don't play. So I know for parties, we don't. Now, the problem is that the same South African that flog into parties, when it's now come to the heaven party, when you now want to invite them to church, are you seeing that? When you now, is it the same person, if you say weekend special, he's there. But you say special Sunday morning, no. Please change the subject. Please, he's not interested. So that is where South Africa comes on board now. And I want to show you three excuses that these guys made. That you find out that those are the classic excuses we all make every day. You understand? Why we don't want to go to God's party. Yeah, we want to go to men's party. We want to go to everybody's party. But God's party, amazingly, people are making excuses. Yeah, that's why they don't want to go there. And if you are honest with yourself, you'll notice that you've made some of these excuses before. And this morning, you are maybe compelled to be where you are sitting. And I want you to know that it is out of love that somebody has dragged you to that place. Because maybe on your own, you were never going to be there. But rather, even if you are in that place, it doesn't mean you are in heaven. So I want to move you from that place this morning into heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. Please relax. I'm not saying I'm going to send somebody to kill you. I'm just saying that I want you to secure a place in heaven this morning. Hallelujah. The Bible says, there are three excuses that these guys made. Excuse number one, the excuse of material possessions. Material possessions. Luke 14, 18. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I have bought a piece of ground. I must go and see it. Material possessions. Yeah. This was a property. This man bought a piece of ground, a piece of land. And the excuse was, I have bought a piece of property. First of all, you can realize that this is an excuse because can you buy a land which you haven't seen? He's saying, I have bought a piece of ground. I must go and see it. I have never in my life heard that somebody bought land without seeing it. You are a fool. If you are going around buying things that you don't see, you are a fool. Because you need to go and inspect the place. Ask yourself if it is in the right neighborhood, if it is in the if the measurements are right. These days, people are selling land to many people. How sure are you that the land is yours? So it is an excuse the guy was bringing up with. But it is the excuse many of us use all the time. That's why we don't come to God, because we are chasing a piece of land, we are chasing a house, we are chasing a car, we are chasing a suit, we are chasing a plasma TV. This guy was making an excuse over the piece of land, but each one of us have an excuse why we feel God cannot yet see you. Material possessions are the number one reason why people are running away from God. They are chasing all kinds of things under heaven. They have time, even on Sunday, to go and do all kinds of things. But they don't have time for God. Yeah, even in the lockdown, people have time to sleep. They have time to watch every soapy. They don't have time for God. That is the reality. That is the reality. Material possessions have possessed people. So much so that they don't have time for God. But the Bible says in the book of Mark chapter 8 verse 36 and 37, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, your soul is so precious. Your soul is so important. But amazingly, people exchange their soul for a car. They exchange their soul for a pair of shoes. They exchange their soul for a cell phone. They exchange their soul for a car. They exchange their soul for a house in a better neighborhood. They exchange their soul. They are working for that bigger house. And because they are working so hard, they can't go to church. They can't come to God. They are chasing and following that dream with everything inside of them. They don't want to even give God a little chance. If you ask them, why don't you come? Oh, man, I'm very busy. I'll come. It's just that right now, things are very tight. I need to put two and two together. It's very, very tight right now. What shall it profit you, my friend? If you gain everything and you lose your soul, meaning you go to hell. After you have gained the whole world, you go to hell. What shall it profit you? I came to tell you there is a room for you in heaven.
Do not allow material possessions to become so important to you that you lose your soul because of them. I want to show you something that is going to shock you this morning. Let me take you to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 18. This is Solomon speaking. Listen, Solomon was the richest man in the world in his time. He was like a Bill Gates of today. Yeah, he was very rich. And Solomon came to a conclusion that was very, very depressing. After Solomon thought about all he had accumulated, he made a discovery that really, really, really depressed him. This is Solomon speaking. He said, "Then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun." He said, "I hated all my efforts, all my investment, all my toil, all the things I did." He said, "I hated that labor." And this is why he says, "Because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will rule over all my labor in which I have toiled and in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. This also is a vanity." You see, Solomon made an interesting and depressing discovery. He realized that all the hard work to have a house in Santin, all the mighty effort he's putting together to drive a Bentley, when he dies, another person will come and take control of all those things. And he doesn't even have a guarantee that that person will be wise. And you know, can I tell you something? Solomon was right to think that way, because when his son took over, his son messed up everything he had worked for. Isn't it the reality we're experiencing every day? You work hard, another person comes and just give everything for free to other people. So brother, I know you are working hard. I know you are trying to secure your life. I know you are trying to secure this and that. But the reality is that one day you're going to leave all of those things. And who is going to take over? Maybe you are saying, "My son or my daughter." Are you sure? Are you sure? The house you bought was built by another person. How come the house you bought was built by another person, but the son or the daughter of that person didn't own that house? They ended up selling it to you. Have you thought about that? Many of us are living in houses that were built by other people. We bought the houses from them. We bought land that belonged to another person. And I'm sure the land was given to them by a person that believed they will do something with that land. They ended up selling it. What guarantee do you have that the things you are working so hard for will be kept by your children? May God give them wisdom. But I want you to understand that, listen, at the end of the day, you have no guarantee that your hard labor will bring any return. And as a matter of fact, you are going away without nothing. Think about it. That's why Paul wrote to the Corinthians something that I want you to think deeply about right now. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 58, he said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." You see, Solomon was abounding in labor, but not the labor of the Lord. Solomon was amassing riches for himself. He didn't have time for God. He was having time to get another land, get another house, get a bigger car. Solomon was not interested in working for God, my brother. But Solomon made a terrible discovery at the end of his life. In fact, even the women he married took him away from God. That's what Paul is saying. Abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Solomon was laboring. He says, "I hated all my labor." Solomon hated all his labor. But Paul is saying, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Your labor in the Lord. Can I tell you something? The only labor I can guarantee that will not be in vain is your labor in the Lord. Every other labor is in vain. You are working hard for Toyota, it's in vain. You are working for which company? Any company. Mercedes-Benz, it is in vain. You are working for Stan International, it is in vain. I thank God I'm not just working for Stan International, I'm also working for the Lord. He says your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Every other labor is in vain. Why? Because anything you are accumulating, you're going to leave it anyway. That's the reality, my friend. It's in vain. And that is the vanity. Solomon says, this is all vanity. And Paul is saying, it is vain. Vanity, vain. You are wasting your energy. I see people refusing to even give their tithes and their offering because they are using that tithe to buy a house. I'm laughing for you. In fact, I'm laughing terribly for that. You are not giving anything for God because you are trying to buy a car. It's in vain. It's in vain, my friend. It is in vain. You better wake up. You better wake up and realize that only what you're doing for God will matter. At the end of the day, there is room for you. There is a room for you. There is a room for you in the vineyard of the Lord. You can work for God today. You can rearrange your life for God today. Hallelujah. The second excuse is the excuse of business, jobs, and career. Yes, please. Luke 14:19. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to taste them. I ask you to have me excuse. Yokes of oxen, you know, ox represents today what you have, like maybe like, you know, things that are working your ground, you know, like tractors and all of these things, tracks. Ox are very, very hard, very, very strong animals. So it was a business. He had a business. He was into businesses. Yeah, many of us are into jobs and we are pursuing careers, this and that, into education. You want to have a bigger degree. Why? Because you want to have a bigger salary. You want to have a bigger job. You are into career opportunity. Listen, that is the excuse many people are giving. Many people saying to you, look, I can't really come because I have to chase this. I have to finish this. I have to do this. Business, career, opportunity. I'm not against you doing well in business, brother. But I'm against you doing well in business and doing bad in God. That is the problem. Lastly, the excuse of family and relationships. Still another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. In fact, he didn't even say, have me excuse. He said, me, I cannot come. I cannot come. I have married. Pastor Pascal was asking, Onyala Link. I have Onyala, so I'm sorted. I'm not coming. The others didn't say I cannot come. They just say, have me excuse. They say, I cannot come. Why can't you? Why do you even come to tell me so? Can't you see that I'm married? Can't you see that I'm married? Family and relationships. How many people today are in hell because of a girlfriend? Are in hell because of a boyfriend? Are in hell because of a marriage? Because of something they were chasing love. You are chasing love. How many people today can't even come to church because of the father they have? A relationship with your father or your mother can be the reason why you are going to hell. Because your father goes to the mall on Sunday morning, my friend. He takes the whole family for a picnic on Sunday morning. And because you are in that family, you are going to hell. Mercy. Mercy. Family and relationships. This is one of the strongholds Satan uses to take people away from God. Many people can't follow God because of somebody they love. No wonder God says the greatest commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. I'm asking myself today, what is the person that is taking you away from God? Because of that person, you are not serious with God. Because of that person, your spiritual life is not strong. Because of that person, you can't be consistent in the things of God. When you even think of praying, you just remember them in your mind and say, hey, I'd rather take it easy. You can't even do it right. I came to help you this morning. I came to help you break out of that pattern. There is a better way for you. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Luke, 9:59-62, the Bible says, then he said to another, follow me. This is Jesus. So Jesus said to one person, follow me. Then the person said, Lord, let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. Let the dead bury the dead. Can you believe? They say, oh, but Jesus is against funerals. Jesus is against us even burying our people. Ever since coronavirus came, haven't we seen that even burying people now is easy and simple? All these big funerals we used to have. Coronavirus, let's put the Bible aside. Coronavirus has reduced all those things and people are not complaining. And there are people that funerals every weekend. You couldn't see them. They are always in a funeral, traveling for a funeral left, right, and center. But they can't travel like that for conferences. They can't travel like that to church. But they can travel for funeral. And they can travel for unveiling of tombstones. They are into it. Yeah, every weekend they are attending a funeral somewhere. Are you like that? That you are always in funerals. And I hear that people are attending funerals so that when they die, other people must also attend their funeral. How sure are you that these people will come for a funeral? Is that what you are going all this? You are torturing yourself. You are torturing yourself. I rather ask myself if God will be there when I die, rather than ask myself if people will be there when I die. Ask yourself, will God be there? Will an angel be there, or will a demon be there? Who will be there? That's what you should ask yourself. You are there attending everybody's funeral because you don't want, when you die, they should also come and attend your funeral. If they don't come, what will you do? Will you come out of the coffin and say, hey, well, now you are supposed to come. I attended all the funerals of everybody in your family. Now I'm there. You are not coming for the funeral. Amen. Please. Amen. And another also said, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to come to church, Pastor. You know, I love God. I want to come to church. I want to do the things of God. Lord, I want to follow you. I want to live my life for you. When I hear the pastor preach, everything is burning. I want to serve God. But let me first go and bid farewell to those who are in my house. I want to come, but let me first, my family first. Let me first go and talk to them. Let me go and ask mommy if she will allow. Let me go and ask daddy if it will be okay. Let me go and ask my husband if he will agree. Let me go and talk to my wife if she will be okay with this whole thing of God and heaven. Mercy. This is the reason why many people are ending in hell. Family members, boyfriend, girlfriend. I am married. I cannot come. I cannot come. Wouldn't it be the right opportunity for you to take your wife? I mean, a party. Don't you think your wife will be very happy to wear her night dress and the evening dress and go with you to the party? Wouldn't it be? Look, that is a very silly excuse, because women like going out and showing off. How come this your wife can't go to a party? God is helping us right now. Amen. I came to tell you those three excuses are the three reasons why many people don't come to God. The pursuit of material things, material possessions, trying to get this and trying to get that. And the second is in business, jobs, career, studies, education. Number three, love, relationships, marriage, family. Those are the things that are holding people down. My prayer for you this morning is that none of those things will be able to stop you from coming for the great invitation. Hallelujah. You see, what is very interesting about this is that God never sat to beg those people to come. When he told them they refused, he sent his servant to other people. That is something you should know. That in heaven, there will be people you never thought would be there. There are people today that God is inviting. They don't want to come home because they are chasing dreams. Because they are respectable. God is going to turn from you and is going to go to people that you never thought can come. And they are the one he was going to go for. Because in this story, as you can see, the master never continued insisting on those people. He turned his attention to very funny people. It is the lame that now started coming. The blind. They paralyzed. They are the one that he went for now. I want to tell you something. Don't think you are so important. If you refuse to come, God is going to find somebody that you think he's a nobody. God is going to find that person, and God is going to invite that person to come. My prayer for you, don't allow another person to take your place. Don't allow another person to, there is a room for you, but do not allow another person to take that room. Do not allow that to happen to you. Because this day, this man that was saying, my wife, I can't come. Another, a blind man took his place. The Bible says the prostitute will go before you in the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says the first shall be last and the last shall be first. I want you to know, maybe you are hearing my voice today. You are the first to hear my voice. But don't turn into the last to enter heaven. Don't allow that to happen to you. Don't allow that to happen to you. This message I'm preaching, many people have preached it before me. But some people have been listening to this message and they said, no, I'm not interested. Now it is your turn. I'm asking myself this morning, will you also say, I'm not interested? Like these people did. The master turned to somebody else. The master turned to somebody else. Or maybe you are saying this morning, Pastor, you know what? I want to come, but you know, I'll come. There is a guy, I heard the story of a certain guy who used to be invited all the time to go to church. His friends will go to him. His name was James. They say, James, let's go to church. James will say, you know what? Guys, this church thing that you guys are talking about, it is something from white people. White people have come to deceive you people. Do you understand? Like me, I'm not into those things. I'm an African. I go to my ancestors and I go to my things. I'm not interested. So James was never interested in church. Other times when other people come to invite him, he will chase them with stones. Other times when James is tired, he will allow them to come. They will talk to him. He will listen to them. And other times, really, he will hear what they are saying. And then when it's time for him to say, I'm going, he will say, you know what? I'll come next week. He kept postponing it to next week. Sometimes he chases them away. Sometimes he says next month. But there was a day. Finally, James entered the church. Hallelujah. James entered the church, and the day James entered the church was full. It was packed. There were people on this side, and there were people on the other side. Man, people all over. And the choir stood, and the choir sang a very moving song. The song was touching people, and people were crying when the song was being sung. People were crying on the left and on the right. James was looking uninterested. No crying, no emotion, nothing. After that, the pastor came and the pastor preached a powerful message. As the pastor was preaching the message, people were trembling. Some people were shaking. The message was moving people. People were shaking by the message. James was just looking like this, uninterested by anything that was happening. But the most shocking thing is when the pastor made an altar call for people to give their life to Jesus and to enter to their also place to find their room in heaven, many people raised their hands to go and give their lives. When the pastor looked at James, James was not raising his hands. James didn't raise his hand the day he came to church. Then the pastor asked the people that raised their hands, let them come in front. The people came to the front to pray the sinner's prayer. Unfortunately, even at that level, James did not go to pray. And I'm sure you're asking yourself right now, what is wrong with James? After so many years of refusing to go to church, finally James is making it to church. But the day James makes it to church, all of a sudden, James can't respond to the choir. James can't say amen when the pastor is preaching. James can't raise his hand when the pastor makes an altar call. James can't come to the front to give his life to Jesus. What is wrong with James? Do you know what happened to James? I know exactly why James could not raise his hand. I know exactly why James could not say amen when the pastor was saying something. I know exactly why. Do you know why? Because James was dead in the coffin. That day when James went to church, James was a dead man in the coffin. The only time when James could go to church was when he died. And they put him in a coffin and they entered him in the church. He was lying in the coffin and the choir was singing, but James was already dead. He could not respond to the choir. James could not respond to the singing. James could not respond to the preaching. Why? Because he came to church too late. All the time they were inviting him to come to this party, he didn't want to come. The only thing that brought James to church was his death.
when he was in the coffin.
So he was, that the reason why there were so many people, because people came to say their goodbye to James.
People were full in the place.
People were crying
because the song was reminding them of many things James was doing.
My question to you this morning, will that be your story? That the only time you will really come
is when you are dead. Will that be your story?
I came this morning to encourage you. You don't know what is going to happen tomorrow, my brother. Please understand, James thought he had time. James thought he had control over his life. But he didn't understand that death will come when you expect it the least. And that's what happened to James. He was chasing dreams. He was chasing a bigger house. He was chasing the new girlfriend in the block. And death took him by surprise. He never took God seriously. And by the time he went to church, it was too late. Today you are watching me. It's not too late for you. You can make that decision right here, right now. I want to ask you something. Do you want to give your life to Jesus today? I want to invite you to that party to which we are all going to. What are you going to say this morning? Are you going to say, Pastor, you know what? I'm going to think about it more. I will think about it a little bit more. I'm not sure. Or will you make a decision this morning and say, Pastor, thank you for preaching this word. I don't want to wait until I'm in a coffin when I cannot lift my hands, when I cannot respond to the preaching. Right now I can respond to the preaching. Right now I can say yes to God. Right now I can stop making excuses and make a way back to God. Right now I can make, the Bible says, come near to God and God will come near to you. Why don't you make your first step right now? What are you waiting for? God sent me. God sent me like that servant was sent to say, come, it's time. It's time, my brother, it's time. It's time to give your life to Jesus Christ. It's time. Now, this is the time. Now is the time. Now is the time. Right now, in every stream side, in every home, wherever you are watching, I want you to make this decision. I give my life to Jesus Christ today. I don't want to enter the church as a dead man. I want to enter the church when I'm alive. Yes. Yes. And thank God you are alive today. Thank God you can hear my voice today. Thank God you can respond to the preaching today. Right now, in every stream side, if you want to give your life to, I'm going to ask everybody to close their eyes. First of all, everybody stand up from every stream side. Everybody stand up in every stream side. Stand up, stand up, stand up. Thank you. Now, I want everybody to close their eyes and to bow their heads. I'm talking to you. Please close your eyes. Don't watch anymore. Just close your eyes and bow your heads. You can hear me even if you can't see me. What you need to hear now is the voice of the Lord. Listen, God is saying to you, it is time. Come. I have sent my servant to preach. I have sent my servant to invite you. There is room for you. You don't need to go to hell. You don't need to die in this condition. Come to God today. If that is you, I'm going to ask you to raise your right hand high. Raise it right now. At the count of three, you're going to raise your right hand in every stream side. One, two, three. Raise your right hand. Thank you, Jesus. I want to thank all of you that are raising your hands in every stream side right now. Thank you for raising your hand. God bless you. God bless you. You can take your hands down. Now, I want you to repeat these simple words after me. Speak from the bottom of your heart. This simple prayer that is going to be your response to the invitation. Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for inviting me. I respond to the invitation. I say yes. Yes, Lord. Take my life, all that I am, all that I have, I surrender to you today. Forgive my sins. Wash me with your blood. Accept me as I am. In Jesus' name.